Well, tonight, I want to just kind of play a little what if with you. What if you won the lottery? Have you ever thought about that? What if the stock market crashes? Well, the first one was more fun, right? Now, some of you are worrying, but what if you lose your job? What if you had superhero powers? Which one would you pick? You know what I'm saying? What if you knew you only had 1 month to live? What would you do? What if you had three wishes? You know how the story goes. This guy's walking along the beach and he finds a lamp and he picks it up. He starts cleaning it. And all of a sudden out comes this genie. And he says, because you set me free, I'm going to give you three wishes. The guy says, well, first, I want $1 billion. And poof, there in his hands is a paper with account numbers to a Swiss bank account. He says, wow, that is so cool. I want a red Ferrari. And poof, there's a red Ferrari. Third wish, what do you want? He says, I want to be irresistible to women. And poof, he turns into a box of chocolates. Right? Now, what if you could travel back in time? Well, first of all, you'd go back and redo your third wish, right? What if you got to grade your teachers? Wouldn't that be fun? What if you could be anybody that you wanted to be? Now, here's the thing. What if? It's just fantasy. It's not real. I mean, what if is a make-believe world that little kids like to play, and I guess the truth is some of the rest of us like to play too, but it's really kind of foolish to sit and wonder what if. But I want to ask you tonight about some what ifs in regard to the scripture. And I just want to say to you right here from the beginning of this message tonight, what if we really believed the Bible? What if we really believe the things that the Bible says, that God says in His Word? What if the Lord was going to hold us accountable for everything we said, every careless word? Can you imagine? Jesus said it, it's Matthew 12:36. I say to you that for every idle word that men will speak, they'll give an account in the day of judgment. What if we believed that? Every idle word, not just the bad stuff, every careless word, there'll come a day when we're going to give an account. Do we really believe that? I will tell you, Jesus said this, and there's so many things the scripture tells us so powerfully, and yet somehow we just kind of let it pass by like it's a dream, it's a fantasy. It's just one of those what ifs. Y'all got real quiet now. Do we really believe the Bible? You know, a lot of times we talk about how atheists and unbelievers, you know, they don't really believe. But the truth is if you look at the lives of most Christians, I didn't say what they profess to believe. If you look at the lives of most Christians, there's a whole lot of the Bible that they just don't believe. Do we really believe we're going to give an account for every idle word? I want to tell you, if we really believe that, it'd change our conversations. If we really believe that, we'd be a whole lot more careful about what we said. In fact, I think we'd end up being a lot more quiet. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that even the fool seems wise when he keeps his mouth shut. And you know what? A lot of us would start looking like wise people because we'd start keeping our mouth shut. If we really believe there's going to come a day, I'm going to have to give an account for this conversation and the things that I said. See, it's one thing for us to hear it. It's another thing for us to even know it and be able to quote it. And it's an altogether different thing for us to actually live like we believe it. What if God saw everything we did? Everything. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of to whom we must give an account. God sees absolutely everything. See, sometimes, you know, we might be all alone. Oh, nobody will ever know. God always knows. He sees everything. Everything that we do, you know, it's amazing to me how so often people think that they get away with things. They get away with being mean to somebody or doing something to somebody. It's just amazing how that old sin nature can deceive you. But listen to me. We're going to give an account for all of it. He sees everything. And if we really believe that, I wonder, would it change the way we drive? Right? Maybe. Would it change the way we treat other people? See, I think if we really believe those scriptures, just those two I've already talked about, that he hears and he's going to have us give an account for every idle word, and he sees, and we're going to give an account for what we've done. I just think that, you know what, if nothing else, that ought to create a healthy fear of the Lord. That we live our lives before a God who hears everything and sees everything. He's always watching us. I want to tell you that fear of the Lord is something that's missing in so much of the religious culture of our day. And even in church, where a lot of times there seems to be little fear of the Lord, how we need that. Amen. What if we were all judged and rewarded in eternity according to the things we have done? There's a whole lot of shallow, phony gospel preached today that gives the impression it doesn't matter how you live because of grace. All I know is my Jesus says in Revelation 22:12, he says, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. And where is this? This is in the last part of the book. I mean, this is the last chapter of the Bible. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to give a reward to everyone according to their work. Wow. If we really believe that, it ought to change us. It ought to make us want to live our lives in such a way that they matter, that we don't waste time. Man, do we have a lot of time wasters in our generation, things that will just eat up your time if you allow it. And what are we going to say to Jesus when he comes on that day to reward us according to what we've done? And we say, but Lord, you know, I had to have 3 or 4 hours a day to relax and watch TV and play on social media. And okay, I'm moving on. I just want to tell you, though, if we really believe these things, what if we believe the Bible? It'll change us. What if you reaped whatever you sowed? Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. See, a lot of times, you know, you can fool yourself. You can fool other people. You can fool yourself, but you can't fool God. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, there's obviously a lot that can be said, a whole teaching to do about this. You reap what you sow, but here's the thing, you know. A lot of times in our human nature, we want to pay back whatever people did to us. In some way, we want to pay it back. I'm sorry, I got to put this one out there. I know I said something about how you drive, but it's a thing for a lot of us. So this guy, he won't let you over, and you need to get over. But no, he won't let you over. And now your lane goes off. It's the fast one now, and he's trying to get over in your lane. Nuh-uh. Nuh-uh. We want to repay. But here's the thing. Here's the problem with that. You reap what you sow. So no matter how you're treated, you want to sow good seed. You want to have a good harvest coming in. See, I just believe, if we really believe the Bible, it'll change the way we live. You know, the problem is that a lot of the time when it comes to sowing and reaping, you don't see the harvest immediately. That's why a lot of people think it doesn't really matter. But here's the thing. Sometimes it might be months or even years later, and that harvest comes in. They don't even remember planting it. But that harvest finally comes in and they're like, well, I don't understand why this happened. It finally grew up. The harvest came in. See, if we really believe the Bible, it'll change the way we live our lives and change what we say and what we do. What if we were going to be judged in the same way we judge other people? By the way, I don't believe that this principle that Jesus gives is just for eternity. It's for right now. But Jesus said it, Matthew 7, 1 and 2, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. You know, it's a real struggle a lot of the time. Well, first of all, let's just push this out of the way. We like to say, oh, I don't judge anybody. I don't judge anybody. Listen, when we are critical of other people, we're judging them. And Jesus says we're going to be judged in the same measure. I don't know about you. I don't want to be judged at all. It'll change the way we live if we believe what he says. How many of you need God's mercy? Oh man, I need God's mercy. And I know it. I got to tell you, I want God's mercy. What if the way to get mercy was just as simple as this? Show mercy. Jesus said it in Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How do you get it? You show mercy. See, if we really believe that, I got to tell you, I think we'd be a lot kinder, a lot less critical, a little easier to get along with, and maybe cut others a little slack. Because we need it. I tell you, it is nothing but pride that causes us to be critical and judgmental and harsh about towards other people and want to judge them and say they deserve this and they deserve that. And what do you deserve? Mercy? Only way you get mercy is you show mercy. What if you were a new creation in Christ? Really? No, really. Really a new creation. Living a brand new kind of life. Not living that old life anymore. It's in the scripture right here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Too many still living too much of the old life. And if we believe that scripture, you need to know that means that you are a changed person from the inside out. And listen, it may not feel like it sometimes, and it may not look like it sometimes, but you need to believe it because the Word of God says it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. What if, it's about to get wild, y'all. What if God lived inside of you? I'm talking about the Almighty. 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, if the greater one lives inside of you, there's not anything that you can't overcome. By the grace of God, we have been born of Him. He lives in us by His Spirit. And there's nothing, I want to tell you, there's nothing that can defeat Him. And we just need to realize, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Do we believe these things, or is it just a fantasy what if kind of thing? No, what if we believed the Bible? What if through Christ's strength you could do anything? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you believe that, whatever you face in life, you know that you can handle. You know, here's a problem with believing that. Whatever God asks you to do, whatever He wants you to do, you don't get to say, I can't. Because if He asks you to do it, if it's what He wants you to do, I want you to know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's far beyond human ability, human power, personality. When the Lord wants us to do something, I want to tell you, He'll give you the power to do it. What if you had authority over all the power of the enemy? I want to tell you, these things were written. I got to remind you, they weren't written for the disciples when He spoke this. It was written down and recorded for us. Jesus says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, if we believe the word of God, we don't have to be afraid. We just need to take authority over the enemy. Jesus said this to the disciples when the 70 returned from ministry and the demons had been subject to them. Do you believe the powers of darkness are subject to you?
Yes.
What if we just believe the Bible? I'm just telling you, the Bible is full of so many powerful principles and powerful promises, and every one of them is true. We just got to believe it. I mean, what if you had power to be a witness for Jesus? Now, I just got to get this out of the way. See, some of us are extroverts, and it comes a little easier to talk to people, not just about the Lord, just period. You know, Jonathan preached such a great message last week, and I could so identify with him when he's talking about being in Walmart and trying to avoid eye contact. I'm the same way. But here's the thing. You see, being a witness for Jesus, it's not just a man thing, that, you know, it's not just a personality thing. It's not just our ability. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in us that He can use us. He can do that. Listen, it's Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I want you to know God can use anybody. It's the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that gets it done. You can tell others what God has done in your life. Yes, you can. You need to believe this promise, this verse of Scripture. What if we had the power? I mean, what if we could just lay hands on somebody and they would be healed? Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know what? If we believe that promise, it would be fun to pray for people, wouldn't it? We need to believe a whole lot more. What if we just believe the Bible? What if you could just have real peace and not be stressed, not be anxious? John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, we don't have to be afraid, no matter what's going on. Anybody get stressed and anxious about the stuff that's going on in our world? I want to tell you, first of all, maybe we need to tune out from some of that stuff sometime. But no matter what's going on in our world, we don't have to be afraid. Our Lord is going to take care of us. We need to just walk in that peace, believe that peace that He gives to us, receive that peace that He gives to us. What if when you gave generously, you reap generously, and when you gave sparingly, you reap sparingly? Preachers always talk about money. Did you know the Bible talks about money an awful lot? So I know that some of these kinds of promises have been abused, but that doesn't make them untrue, and we should believe them. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I want to tell you, nobody would be stingy if they actually believe that. What if? Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, I just got to back up. I know how it is with money and giving and all of that. You know, some people, it's like, well, you know, those churches, they just want your money. And who knows, they're just going to waste it. They're just going to abuse it. I want to tell you something. You need to find a church where you trust that the leadership of that church will do the right thing with the money. But see, a lot of people, they will never find that church because they're not willing to let go. I just got to tell you, the Bible's still true. What if God was going to supply every need in your life? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wouldn't that just be amazing? And I know, again, these scriptures get abused sometimes. Like, well, that just means that God ought to give me everything I ever wanted. That's not what it says. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it's absolutely true. See, we just got to obey the Lord and trust Him, and He takes care of the rest. I'm going to quit this in a minute, but I'm not done. What if when we gave tithes and offerings, God opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing that we can't contain? Who wouldn't tithe? And I always say it because it needs to be said. The reason people don't tithe is not because we don't have to. Who cares if you have to? If the promise is true, who doesn't want in on this deal? They don't believe the promise. That's why they don't tithe. Because if you believe the promise, it isn't a matter of do I have to. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then he goes on in verse 11, I'm not going to read it, but he goes on in verse 11 saying he'll rebuke the devourer for our sake. You ever felt like there was a devourer in your finances? A lot of people in this world, they want to question your faith. You really believe that stuff? So I'm just messing with you a little bit tonight, I know, but I want to question your doubts. Why should we ever doubt His word? I want to challenge you to believe and to live what you believe. Why don't people pray? It's two things, one of two things. Either they don't care or they don't believe. Because if we care and we believe that it makes a difference when we pray, we'll pray. What if? Whatever you desired when you prayed and you believe you received, you would have. How about Jesus, Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, if we believe this, we'll pray more. And we'll believe we receive. Because he says that if we believe we receive, he says, you'll have them. What if, this is amazing to me, what if the throne room was open for us to be able to come in by the blood of Jesus, to come in with confidence because of that blood, and to ask, to come to the throne of grace in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can get in because of God's grace. It's the throne of grace, and there's mercy and grace there to help in our time of need. Amazing. And he can restore a family. He can break the chains of depression. He can heal. He can open doors of opportunity for you. What if we believe this? That we can come to the throne of grace and obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need. Wow. What if anything was possible? What if whatever you could dream, whatever you could imagine, you could envision, whatever you could believe for, Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. Here's the thing. The word of God is true. It's real. It's not fantasy. It's more real than the things that you see with the natural eye, because the things that we see with the natural eye, it was all created by and through the word of God. Right. And it's not an if or a suppose. It's not fantasy. It's truth. And it's real. And there's so many things throughout the word of God that we know, and yet much of the time we live as though we don't really believe it's true. Seems like most believers don't really believe the Bible. They treat it like, you know, it's like an adult comic book. Like it's just got these neat stories to read. Oh no. No, this is for us to live by. These are spiritual truths, promises, and principles that are available to us to live by every day. This is my favorite what if, at least for tonight. What if Jesus were really here? I mean, as we're praising him and worshiping him, he just came into our midst. Matthew 18:20, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I believe he's here. Now, it's crazy to me. I've actually heard some preachers in the last few years trying to teach that this isn't for us. I don't know what they're talking about. Because I got to tell you, when we gather in his name, not when we just gather, when we gather because of him, when we gather in his name, he says, there am I in the midst. And I just got to tell you, you see, people would get all excited if Jesus showed up in a white robe up here. Everybody would just, oh, it would be so amazing, so fantastic. People in this culture we live in, it's crazy. You know, somebody found a piece of wood, and if you look at it just in the right light, you can see the face of Jesus, and people will travel hundreds of miles to come and look at the piece of wood or the donut that somehow had the face. I don't know. It's crazy to me. What I do know is that he is just as much here, whether you can see him or not. When we gather in his name, I believe he is actually here. And it ought to change the way that we come in. It ought to change the way that we worship. It ought to change the way. I mean, if we really believe that he would speak to us through the word of God, we wouldn't be scrolling or playing on a cell phone or talking to somebody or thinking about what we're doing later. We would be tuned in to him, listening for his voice and expecting him to do something in our life. It's amazing, a crazy time that we live in. You can have, you know, Brother Big Shot, he's going to come and speak next week, and we're going to pack the house out. Let me tell you, even more so than that, we're going to have a professional football player. He's going to come and talk at our church. And man, we couldn't even hold the people in this little building, could we? But you tell people, Jesus is going to be at our church next Sunday, and they're like, okay. What if we believed? What if we believe that Jesus is going to be here next Sunday? I want to tell you, we got something to tell. We ought to be motivated to invite people. We ought to be excited about church. Well, I hope the worship team is good. I hope Pastor Mark is not boring, you know. What if Jesus was here? What if we believed that Jesus was here? So I got to tell you, when Jesus is there, anything can happen. The power of the Lord is present to heal. I mean, God can change lives. When he's in the room, it changes everything. I like this story from Mark chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. It says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. People need to hear. Immediately, many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. I want to tell you, these people, they packed the place out, and they wanted to get in there so bad. They wanted their friend to be able to get to Jesus. They were taking the roof apart. And did you know that the majority of Christians don't invite one person to church in a whole year? Quiet. We need to tell people, Jesus is going to be there. We're gathering in his name. We expect him to be there. We believe he's going to be there. Amen. If you had known Jesus was going to be here tonight, would you have brought somebody? The one that sets free. The one that forgives sins. The one that heals and makes whole. What if he were here? I tell you, it'll change our attitude about church and about worship and about each other. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is here. And if you had a struggle in your life, maybe something that's gone on a long time, you wouldn't want to just leave without having prayer. You wouldn't want to just walk out without reaching out to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment, knowing that he has the power. I just challenge you tonight to believe that his presence is real in this place. and to believe the promises, the truths of the Word of God, not just give a mental assent to them and say, yeah, I believe that, but to really allow it to change the way that you act, the way that you talk, the way that you live. What if we really believed the Bible? Because I want to tell you, I just gave you a bunch of scriptures tonight, but you just get a hold of one word from God and you really get it down in your heart where you truly believe it with all your heart. I want to tell you, one scripture can change your life. Just one. You get it down in your heart where you're really living by that scripture, it will absolutely change you. You know, there's been a lot of silly stuff said and done in the name of faith. But real faith is to believe what God has said and act on it. It's true. Every last word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. His word is always true. And if you don't believe in miracles, Pastor Mark didn't preach 48 or 50 minutes tonight. It's 8:26, and we're going to have a few minutes for prayer. So I want you to stand with me.